Continue along in chapter 12 of Hebrews. Our main verse is going to be verse 17, but we're going to get up to verse 14 to get it in context here. When you study the Word of God, it's always good to look at the punctuation in your Bible. If you'll notice, even though we're going to be using verse 17, if you put verse 16 in there, then you notice 14 and 15, there is no period at the end of that sentence. At verse 14, there is a colon. At the end of verse 15, there's a semicolon. And you don't come to a period until the end of verse 16, which means 14, 15, and 16 are kind of all one thought that go together. And then verse 17, where we're going to be at tonight. It's one of the things to look at when you study your Bible. God said every jot and tittle is important. A jot and a tittle is kind of like the little inya they put over the N to make it a different letter. And that's what all of these things are very important in the Word of God. And that's why you've got to make sure you got a good one that hadn't been messed with, been changed around and different things like that. Subtle changes are not so subtle when it comes to the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Verse 17. For ye know how that afterward he would have gained and inherited, he would have inherited the blessing. He was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just ask as we open up the Holy Scriptures this evening, that you'll guide and direct and bless again and let us learn great and mighty things from your holy, precious word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the first part of chapter 12 of Hebrews was getting in the race, getting involved, being a part of it. Get in the race. And then things about that you have to do if you're going to race. And then, excuse me, it went on to how God chastises His people and your attitude with that chastisement and how you deal with that chastisement in your life as God tries to nurture you and make you holy and straighten out your life and get you closer to Him and so that you can have great fruit in your life. Well, here in verse 14, it talks about follow peace with all men. In other words, be at peace with all men, be with all people, be at peace with them. Now, listen to this. Follow peace with all men and holiness. The only way you're going to be at peace with the fellow man out there is to live a separated life from sin. Holiness. Now, we're not going to be ever perfectly holy until we get to heaven, but that's no excuse. We need to strive to have less sin in our life. We need to strive to be more like Christ. We need to strive to be more like Jesus. There is not one person on this earth that has ever lived, born, or going to be born that Jesus hated. He loved them all. No matter what they did or who they were, He loved them all. And there was all an opportunity there until some of them said no too many times. But we need to keep our lives separated from sin and don't be have bitterness dwell up in us like we talked about in verse 11. Because it says, without which no man shall see the Lord. You see, these are attributes of a Christian. These are characteristics of a Christian. There is no place for hate in a Christian's heart. Now, I'm not saying bad things don't happen to you. I'm not saying they don't do unjust things to you. I'm not saying people don't do bad things to you. But there is no place for hate in a Christian's life. Because how can you love someone that you can see How can you not love someone you can see when you can't even love Jesus? Because without love for your neighbor, you can't love Jesus, because the love of God dwells in your heart. Now, in verse 15, looking diligently, watching your life closely, diligently. Pay attention to what's going on around you. Look at what's happening. Look at where you are. Look at what's happening going on around you. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now, we're going to come back to this here in just a minute. But listen, you need to be paying attention in your life. You need to be paying attention to sin that's trying to come into your life. You need to be paying attention to the people that's around you that maybe you'll have a chance to witness to. You need to watch your life diligently. You need to be careful about your life. You need to guard your heart. You need to pay attention and stay away from sin. Don't let these little sins creep into your life. Be diligent about your life. Be diligent about what you're doing. Be diligent about where you're going. Now listen here. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now a lot of people have taken this verse and tried to make it mean lots of things that it doesn't mean. Grace is something that you receive from God. That's what grace is. Now, yes, grace is part of salvation, but that's not all that grace is. Grace doesn't end at salvation. Grace continues through your life. Now, whose grace is this? The grace of God. Fail. God has many things that He wants to give you. God has a lot of grace that He wants to bestow on your life. But if you're not diligently watching your life, then He's not going to give these to you. Because you don't deserve them. You can't handle it. Just think, He's not going to give these blessings and graces to someone that's not managing their life, that's not looking at their life, that's not being careful with their life, that's not loving mankind, that's trying to live a holy life, that has letting sin come in, they're not paying attention. He's not going to give those to somebody. He's not going to give grace to somebody. It's like after you wreck the car 5 times, the insurance company cancels you. You know? Well, hey, every time God gives you something, you mess it up, He ain't going to give you no more. Remember the man He gave the 5 talents to and the 10 talents to and the 1 talent to? Hey, they both doubled. The one had 5 got 10. The one had 10 got 20. He increased what God gave him. The one that had 1, he didn't do anything. He went out and buried it in a hole. He lost it. He lost that gift. He lost that grace of God because he didn't use it. That's what it's saying here. Look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. You're failing, not God. It's the grace He wants to give you. And because of that, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Bitterness springing up. What root of bitterness? Sin in one's life leads to bitterness. Listen, they're not at peace with a fellow man. They're not trying to live a holy life. They are not watching their life diligently. They're missing out from gifts that God wants to give them because of all of this. Therefore, a root of bitterness springing up troubled you. A root. The like of grace leads to bitterness, which is because of the sin. This is the cycle of events here. This root will grow up into a huge tree of bitterness. which is because of the sin. This true of this bitter tree is going to make bitter fruit. And it's going to have this bitter fruit is going to spring up other bitter trees. These all have to be chopped down. Once a tree gets root, and once that root grows, and once that root's coming, if it's a bitter tree that you don't want, the only thing that could be done is chopped down and the roots pulled up. And someday that's going to happen to all bitter roots when Jesus comes back. But I want you to see the cycle of events, because we're coming down to Esau here, which the writer, Paul, uses as an example. Now, I see some smoke coming out of some ears, you know, as your gears are turning up here. But now listen, okay, let's go over this. I want you to get how this progresses. Not at peace with your fellow man. Not trying to live a holy life, holiness, having sin in your life. And then you're not watching your life. You're not looking diligent to your life. And you're failing from the grace of God because He can't give you things, because you can't handle it. You don't deserve it. You're not ready for it. So therefore, the root of bitterness grows up because you don't have the grace in your life, because you have the sin in your life. And then the rest of verse 15, and thereby may be defiled. Defiled is the end of all of this. Corrupt, polluted, dishonored, desecrated, violated. All of these terms refer to defiled. The process starts with the like of love. And it grows from there all the way down till the vessel is defiled. Sin progresses, sin grows, and sin takes over. Verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator, an unfaithful person. Unfaithful to Jehovah God. One that sells himself for a bowl of lentils. As Esau did. As Esau is our example here. It starts with the like of love. It drifts all down to bitterness and the root of bitterness. And it growing up in a person's life. Then they come defiled. And then they become unfaithful and they get away from God. That's a process. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person. You know what profane is? An unhallowed person. That's what the dictionary says. Hallowed. An unholy person. Profane. Like profane language, profanity. It's getting lower and lower and lower and getting further and further in the gutter of life. As sin just keeps coming in and coming in and coming again and coming in. Be a fornicator, a profane person, as Esau. Now he's going to use Esau as an example. Esau is an example of someone that is a fornicator of God and a profane person of God. Esau. So now let's go back and look at Esau in Genesis. Because you may be familiar with this story, you may not be familiar with the story. We're not going to do the whole story, but it starts around Genesis 24, 25, 26, you have the story of Esau. Now, in Genesis chapter 25, 25, 29, in Genesis. Genesis 25, 29. Rebekah was the mother. Isaac was the father. Who was Isaac's parents? Abraham and Sarah. All right? Abraham and Sarah had Isaac. All right? So they send off for a bride for Isaac, and it comes back with Rebekah. So you have Isaac and Rebekah. Well, Isaac and Rebekah have two children. No, not Isaac and Rebekah. Rebekah and Jacob. Isaac and Rebekah had two children. Jacob and Esau had two children. Esau, they were twins, but Esau was born first. He was the eldest. He come out of the womb first, and then come Jacob, holding on to his heel. Remember that story? Anyway, we're not going to go all of that. Very interesting story. Esau was a man of the field, a hunter. Went out and took his bow and arrow and got deer and all kinds of things like that. Jacob was kind of a homebody, stayed around the house more. Well, Esau was Isaac's favorite. Jacob was Rebekah's favorite. They had favorites, which is not a good thing. Well, one day, Esau's out hunting. He don't have a good day of hunting. He comes back home, and he's about to die, he thinks. He's starving to death. He's not going to make it. He's going to die. Didn't find anything to eat that day. Well, look here in verse 29 of Genesis 25. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom, which is red. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." Remember, he's the eldest son. And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Verse 34. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now back in our context, we have in Hebrews, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. He is an example of a fornicator when it comes to God and a profane person. Esau is. Well, why is this birthright so important? The eldest would get the inheritance. The eldest would get the blessing from the father. The eldest would be the next one that would be kind of prophet, priest, and king of the family. The eldest would be. When he despised his birthright, he despised his parents. In the face of his parents. Now remember, what was Abraham promised? To be the father of the great nation, as many as the stars are in the heaven. And that promise went on to Isaac. And that promise is going to go on to Isaac's heir. He says, "I don't care who my parents are. I don't care what my name is. I don't care about my birthright. I don't care about what's anything. I'm just worried about me." He put it in the face of God. Remember, he's an example of a fornicator and a profane person. He says, God, I don't care about the promise that my father has. I don't care about those things. I don't care about the future country, the nation of Israel that's coming. I don't care about any of that. Throughout the Bible, Israel is known, and the land is known, and the father of them is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Many times it says, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The father of the nation of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It could have been Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. But he sold out. He sold out on his parents, on his country, on his life, and on God. Because he thought he was going to die. Now listen, if one bowl of lentils and some bread brings him back to life, he wasn't that close to dying. He made a wrong decision. You only have one chance to do it right the first time. Some things cannot be fixed. Some decisions will follow you the rest of your life. Some decisions you make will determine your future life. Some decisions will reflect on your service to God, family, life, position, where you, all kinds of things. A wrong decision will affect you forever, many times. Well, keep your finger there, because we're going to go over to Genesis 27 here in just a minute. But in verse 17, where I was headed with all of this, back in Hebrews, verse 17, I'll read it to you here. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Well, let's look at what happens here. As the years go by, Isaac starts getting older. Can't see real good. Starting to lose his eyesight. Starting to get an old man. Getting ready to die. Well, you remember Esau was his favorite. One of the reasons that Esau was his favorite, he loved that venison that Esau went out and caught and killed and cooked and for him. And all that savory meat. Isaac loved that savory meat. So he tells Esau, go out and kill me a deer or something. Get me some of that savory meat like I love. Bring it back to me, and I'm going to give you your blessings. Because I'm getting ready to die. You're the next in line here. So he does. Well, Rebekah hears, what's going on here? So Rebekah starts conniving here. And she goes and gets Jacob, her favorite, and tells him what's going on. He says, now listen, you go out and get me a goat. I'm going to kill it, and I'm going to cook it just like your daddy likes it. And then I'm going to put some of Esau's clothes on you, so you smell like the woods and outside like Esau did. And then I'm going to get some of that hair from that goat, and I'm going to put it on your hands and on your neck so you'll feel like Esau. I guess he was a hairy man. And Jacob says, oh. And Mama says in verse 13 of chapter 27, and his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. Well, Jacob listens to Mama. Goes out and does all of this stuff. brings it in, and says, "Well, how come you back so quick, son?" "God helped me find the deer." Come on. He brings God into his deception and his lie. Verse 20 of chapter 27, "And Isaac said unto his son, How is it thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." He is bringing God into his lie and into his scheme here. How wicked Jacob is. Now, later on down the road, Jacob gets his life straightened out. But it cost him a limp. It's another story. Read it. You'll have a great blessing. And verse 24, "And he said, Art thou my very son Esau?" He said, "I am. I'm Esau. Come here, eat this stuff, Daddy. You're going to like it. Oh, it tastes so good." Then he gets his blessing. He gives him a great blessing. Going to be the father of a great nation and all these things. Great blessing. You can read it. Well, Jacob leaves. Esau lays back down. Everything's all fine and dandy. Isaac lays back down. Look, guess who shows up? Esau. With some of this savory venison all cooked up. He says, "Who are you?" "I'm Esau, your son." Then Isaac trembles. In verse 36 of Genesis 27, "And he said, Is not he rightly called Jacob?" Which means supplanter or sneaky one. "For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright." Now how did that happen? He sold it. "And behold, now he hath taken away my blessing." And he said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" And Isaac said unto Esau, "Behold, I have made him thy Lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. What shall I now unto thee, my son?" "What shall I do now unto thee, my son?" He says, "I already gave him all the good stuff." Verse 38. "And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept." What it talks about in Hebrew. He wept. "And his Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be in the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above, and by the sword shall I live, and shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou hast have dominion, that he shall break his yoke off thy neck." Verse 41. "And Esau hated Jacob, because of the blessing with his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob." When they get done mourning for the father, "I'm going to kill my brother." Remember we talked about not having love? Now, afterward, it says in Hebrews, after all of this, he wanted it. Too late now. The time of repentance had passed. Now it's judgment time. When he wanted the blessing, he rejected his birthright, but he still wants his blessing. It don't work that way, folks. He was rejected because of the decision he made one day a long time ago when he thought he was going to die. Even in your death, your birthright is very important. Even in death. Because if you have had the second birth, if you've been born again, your birthright is joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Because you've been born again, you have a new birthright. Don't despise that birthright. Don't get in the face of God and ignore what he's given you, what he's doing for you. That's what Esau did. Esau says, I don't care about my birthright. I don't care about the promises of God. I don't care about my inheritance. I just care about me right now, what I've got to have right now. That's all he wanted. That's all he was concerned about. He was concerned about his belly. He was concerned about his flesh. And he sold his birthright. And he still thought he was going to get his blessings. Don't work that way. He denounced his family and everything. And then he wants blessings. He found no place for repentance, it says in Hebrews. It's kind of like, now you want forgiveness, huh? When you see what it means to you. Now you want something from God. The birthright was given away. Therefore, the blessing is also gone. Don't get in the face of God and say, I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do that. And I don't want you to tell me what to do. And I don't want you to be Lord of my life. I want to go my own way and I want to do my own thing. And then ask for God's blessings. So many people do that. And what did Esau say? My brother stole it. He sold it. He sold it for a bowl of beans. He sold it for a bowl of beans and a tortilla. He sold his inheritance. Basically, that's what it was, huh? He sold it for a bowl of beans and some bread. Lentils. Well, lentils are a kind of a bean. He sold it. Pottage. Soup. Sold it. What is that compared to the inheritance of God? Today, people do the same thing. They sell out for a little fix. They sell out for a little sniff. They sell out for a woman or a guy. They sell out for some money. They'll sell out for a dirty joke. They'll sell out at the casino. They'll sell out for all kinds of things. Junk, nothing more than a bowl of beans. And they'll sell out the greatest inheritances of God has for their lives. They fall off. They get out in the world. They get away from God. And then they, oh, God, come help me. God, come help me. God, come help me. Hey, God's been trying to help you, and you've been running away from Him. Run away from God. Be diligent about your life. Watch your life. See where your life's going. See what's happening in your life. Don't let bitterness, the root of bitterness, grow up in you. Don't let it take you over. Don't be a fornicator of God. Don't be a profane person of God. And then want the blessings. What was he seeking for tears? Things. What was he really looking for? There's nothing about him saying, oh, I'm sorry for what I did. God, forgive me. He wasn't trying to get his birthright back. He was just wanting the stuff. That's what he wanted, the blessings. He wanted things. His father felt bad, but he couldn't fix it. No amount of tears could fix it. Past the point of no return. Paul uses Esau as an example of what happens. Why did he use it as an example? So we'll learn. So we will learn from the examples of the Bible. So we'll learn about things in our life. Learn how important one little sin is. There's no such thing as an insignificant sin. There's no such thing as a little white lie. There's no such thing as stretching the truth. If it's not the truth, then it's a lie. If it's sin, it's sin. whatever you want to call it, it's still sin. And sin sneaks in as a little root. Just a little old root. When you go down and chop a weed, you know those ragweeds we get, those famous ragweeds we have around here? You know, what do? You go mow them off and go mow them off and go mow them off. You know, it looks nice. You know, it's even, it's green, you know, it's flat. But what happens down at the stalk? The stalk just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then it starts growing out this way so you don't chop it off. The only way to kill it and get rid of it is pull it up by the roots. That root of bitterness. You know, there's little elm trees that come up everywhere. They got a root on them, don't they? I mean, just one that gets the size of a pencil lead. It's almost impossible to pull up. Sin is a root of bitterness that will take over your life. Esau was not a happy camper. Esau hated his brother, his own twin, and wanted to kill him. What sin does. What did sin do to that family? Destroyed the whole family. Mama has to send her favorite off to live in another land with her kinfolk so her brother won't kill him. See what the parents did to their family? They split them up. Brought hate between them. Can't have favorites. Now, I've got a couple of minutes here. We're going to jump ahead a few years. About 30 years or so. Jacob goes off to another land. Has to work twice to get the wife he wants. First time he gets, they give him the sister. And then he has to work again to earn the other one. He gets all this. God blesses him. He gets all this stock and he becomes a rich man. So he decides he's going to go back home. Well, when he's going to go back home, he's worried about his brother. So he starts sending all these cattle and all this stuff ahead of him, all these offerings, all these gifts to his brother. Starts sending all the stuff ahead to his brother, kind of pacifying his brother. Well, there's a night that Jacob has a wrestling match with the angel of the Lord. That's when Jacob gets his heart right with God. All night long, he wrestles the angel of the Lord. Now, it was a match, an even match all night long. Nobody could win. Nobody could win that wrestling match. Now, listen. The angel of the Lord showed his power at the end. He could have defeated Jacob any time with a little finger. But it was a constant match. Strength for strength. Strength for strength. They matched strength all night long. Jacob couldn't win. But he was hanging on. Hanging on. He said, I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to let go until you give me a blessing. Wrestling is one of the most strenuous sports you can be in. He fought all night long with the Lord that day. It's a picture of prayer. Prayer is you fight with this old flesh. Fight to subdue it. Fight to get a blessing from God. Fight to get repentance from God. Fight to get right with God as you fight with your prayer life, as you fight with your body. And God says, okay, you're ready now. And he changed his name that night to Israel, Prince of God. Jacob from supplanter to sneaky one,
changed his name to Israel. Jacob has 12 boys. The nation of Israel comes from Jacob. 12 tribes of Israel. Reuben, Benjamin, Joseph, all those good boys. But what happened? The Lord that night touched his hollow of his leg in his hip in here. And the sinew, the tendon, shrunk. It's the power of the angel of the Lord. He just touched him. Made his leg shrivel up. Well, he walked with the limp the rest of his life. The rest of his life, Jacob had a limp. The Jews don't eat that part of the lamb anymore. I don't remember for that. The rest of his life, he had a limp. The rest of his life, he had something to remind him of that night that he got his heart right with God. He had a limp the rest of his life. Every morning when he rolled out of bed and his feet touched the ground and he limped, he was reminded of that night that he repented and got his heart right with God. Jacob came out to be the father of the nation of Israel. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is known as the fathers of the nation of Israel. Esau is known as the Arabians. He went the other way. Been going on since Isaac and Ishmael all the way back. There's not going to be peace in the Mideast until the Prince of Priests. Well, there's going to be a false peace from the Antichrist. And then it's going to explode. And then the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to sit on the throne of Jerusalem and rule for 1,000 years. There'll be peace then. But not until then. God gave them that land from the Mediterranean to the Euphrates River. A huge land. Israel never has had all the land that God gave Abraham. Solomon came the closest. He got tribute. But all that's a huge portion of land that God gave Abraham. Jacob got his heart right. It took many years. Many hard lessons before Jacob got his heart right. Esau accepts him back in. But Esau's nation still went away from God. He married the other tribes, the other ones that believed in idols. Esau did. Our challenge today, tonight, our challenge today has been, get in the race. Get involved. Lay aside the weights and the sins that beset us. And get in the race. And when God chastises us, take it with the right heart and the right spirit. And serve God as He works in your life to make you more Christ-like. And then, don't ever take your eyes off the finish line. Always look for Jesus. And don't let that love drift away from you. Stay close to God all the time. Watch your life diligently. Daily. As soon as you stop looking, sin's going to come in there. Be aware. Ask God to help you. And don't say you're not a Christian. Stand up for Jesus. In chapter 11 here, it talks about, in Hebrews, the roll call of faith. The great man of God, that martyrs, that laid down their life for Jesus and didn't deny God. Not like Esau. We're going to have a time of invitation. There's a song that we're going to play. Don thought I forgot. I did too there for a minute. Song I was listening today in the car. I was traveling down the road. And I'd heard the song so many times before, but I didn't realize how much it fit what was going on in my life right now. If you need to come up to this old-fashioned altar and get some things right between you and God, this is a time to do it. We're going to ask God to bless us and move us and strengthen us. Listen to this song and let God work in your heart. And like Jacob, sometimes you need to come down this old altar, humble the body, and talk to Jesus. Okay, Brother Don, thank you.
Stand for Jesus, don't be ashamed. Stand for Jesus, claim His name. For He loved you on a rugged cross with arms held open wide. Stand for Jesus, He's standing by your side.
Is looking for someone to fill an empty place, to live a life of holiness and defy the world's embrace, to count all gain as loss for the glory of the cross. A city on a hill for everyone to see. Stand for Jesus, don't be ashamed. Stand for Jesus, claim His name. For He loved you on a rugged cross with arms held open wide. Stand for Jesus, He's standing by your side.
Stand for Jesus,
stand for Jesus.
That you'll dismiss us to news with. God, let us be diligent about our lives. Let us be careful about our lives. Let us try and live a holy life that we might be a faithful witness for you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for what you've done on that cross. Thank you, God, for that empty tomb. Thank you for that day at the finish line when I'll see you, Jesus. We thank you for these wonderful things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.